You know, as I was thinking about bringing up the topic of e-cigarettes on the show today, because it seems as though there is a push to ban and make e-cigarettes a very evil thing, which I'm sure in some people's eyes they might be. There was a New York Times story that came out. It just perfect coincidence. New York Times story came out this afternoon that says e-cigarette use doubles among students, a federal survey shows. And the lead paragraph says the share of middle and high school students who use e-cigarettes doubled in 2012 from the previous year, federal data show. The rise is prompting concerns among health officials that the new devices could be creating as many health problems as they are solving. And I thought, perfect. What a perfect segue to talk about electronic cigarettes. Now, I'm going to bring in somebody who reached out to me earlier. His name is Eric Johnson. He's the president of Smoke-Free North Dakota. To talk about this, I think Eric might have a different view of this than I do as somebody who, in his job, advocates for a smoke-free society, which I respect, by the way, as a non-smoker. But let me explain, first of all, in case you don't know, before I bring Eric in, what exactly an e-cigarette is. And this is reading from the New York Times story. It says, e-cigarettes are battery-powered devices that deliver nicotine that is vaporized to form an aerosol mist. Producers promote them as a healthy alternative to smoking, but researchers say their health effects are not yet clear, although most acknowledge that they are less harmful than traditional cigarettes. The Food and Drug Administration does not yet regulate them, though analysts expect that the agency will start soon. So I'm going to bring in Eric Johnson of Grand Forks. He is the president of Smoke-Free North Dakota. And he and I, not scripted, not even scheduled, I think are going to have a conversation about electronic cigarettes, and we'll see where it goes. Eric, thanks for, first of all, following me on Facebook and Twitter. And second of all, thanks for calling to the program. How are you?
Yeah, great, Mike. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing okay. So my take on electronic cigarettes is it seems as though early stages they are a healthier alternative, although not perfect, to regular cigarettes. If adults use them and want their nicotine fix, it doesn't appear to me that the smoke or that the byproduct of these things hurts anybody in the surrounding area. And while I acknowledge that, yeah, I don't want my kids smoking them, I don't want your kids smoking them, maybe we need to find a way to keep them out of the hands of young people. Other than that, what's the big deal here, Eric? What am I missing, if anything, when it comes to electronic cigarettes?
Sure. Let me give you a little bit more background on myself. I'm a physician, and I've worked with Tobacco Free North Dakota for a number of years, and for North Dakota Quits, which is the free health department program for tobacco cessation that's available by phone, on the web, and mobile. This is really a pretty short story with e-cigs. The thing about them is we don't know. We don't know if they work to stop smoking, and their safety profile is also largely unknown. I would welcome data from these companies, because in my work with getting people off of tobacco, I like alternatives that have good data and good safety profiles. And actually, e-cigs are really not that new of a product. They're just being marketed better now. And there's more companies that make them. The first ones actually hit the market in 1976. And unlike lots of other tobacco cessation products, they have yet to show us any data that they actually work or what their safety profile is, which is disappointing, because if they had good safety data and good data to show that they were helping people not use tobacco, I would definitely recommend them.
Let me turn it around then and say, is there data that show that these things are dangerous in any way, or that they do cause health issues for people? Because I think there clearly is, when it comes to cigarettes or regular tobacco products, there is a mile long and deep of data that show that they are very dangerous products. Is that, can the same be said for e-cigs?
You know, chances are they are probably a safer alternative. But here's the thing. We have many other products on the market that have efficacy and safety data that is published and well known, like other nicotine replacement products, like gum, patches, lozenges. Actually, you can buy a nicotine inhaler. Those have been available for a number of years that are not e-cig product-based, which, you know, excrete a water vapor and ethylene glycol byproduct. But today, here these products have been on the market for 35 years, and they just don't have any data to show that they work. Now, me as a physician, if I'm going to use a treatment for this, I want to use something that has safety data. Now, to say that they don't have any harm, we don't know that. These companies have yet to publish any safety data, which I think is very important if me as a health professional is going to recommend them. I'm not a crusader, but I do like science when I'm prescribing something, and I would sure feel a whole lot better about these if they had better data.
Do you believe that the companies that manufacture and sell these products, Eric, do you believe that they are misrepresenting themselves as a tobacco cessation product when, as you pointed out, there's really no data that show that? Is that part of the issue you have, is that, you know, if somebody comes to you and says, boy, I really need to quit smoking for health reasons, for money reasons, you can go to them with actual science, say, look, here's how we're going to do this. This works. These companies are advertising saying, hey, this is a great alternative to smoking. It might get you off smoking, when we don't know that. Is that the crux of your issue with these things?
Yeah, that's my only problem with them. The FDA actually has taken action against five of these companies in the last 5 years. The biggest problem with them has been some quality control with the amount of nicotine they actually deliver. You can get nicotine poisoning. It's difficult to do. But if you have a product that does not deliver a consistent dose, or a dose that we know is effective, I mean, this is a different way of dosing nicotine than any other method that we would use. And the other methods have very controlled dosing, so we really know what their safety profile is. Again, I'd like to reinforce and ask these companies, give us some data. We would love to be able to have another alternative to get people off of tobacco. But until they do that, we have lots of other choices that do have data that show that they work and what their safety and adverse effect profile is. We don't know that with these products.
This may be a naive question, and it might be a stupid question considering I'm 47 years old and I should know this, but we know nicotine is highly addictive. It's one of the most addictive substances available legally to, or illegally possibly, to mankind. Is it dangerous in and of itself? Is nicotine dangerous, Eric, in any way?
Well, nicotine, when used in a controlled fashion, can be medicinal, like when we're taking people off of tobacco-based products. Nicotine does not cause cancer. That's not the cancer-causing agent in a cigarette. There's 60 other chemicals that are carcinogens in tobacco smoke. But nicotine is the addictive drug. If we're going to deliver this in a medical fashion, we need to know that we're doing it in a controlled and safe manner. And I would like it if we had other ways to do it than what we have. But for now, me as a provider, my interest is in prescribing products that I know have data about how they work and what their safety is. And until e-cigs bother to show us that, which is a mystery to me since they've been on the market for 35 years, it's going to be hard for me to recommend them.
Well, and I guess where I was going with that question, and you make perfect sense, but where I was going with the question is, you know, people get a rush or get a buzz or a high off nicotine, correct? That's the attraction of nicotine.
Oh, that's definitely true.
And is that bad? Yes. Is that bad? I mean, people get a buzz off alcohol. We know there are health side effects to alcohol and everything else, but if Mike McFeely just wants to take his little shot of nicotine once a day, is that in and of itself a bad thing if I get a good feeling off it?
You know, I think nicotine definitely has some properties that are positive. It's a mood enhancer. The problem is, in almost every way that we deliver it to people, it comes along with all this baggage of cancer-causing agents, like in tobacco products.
Right.
Now, there are people who use nicotine lozenges and gum off-label just to get the nicotine effect. Nicotine can raise blood pressure. If you have heart disease, it's not a great drug for you because it's a stimulant. Nicotine, and some, you know, there's actually studies to that have been shown that this is beneficial in some psychiatric disorders, but not delivered in an e-cig or delivered in a tobacco product.
Okay.
So it's an interesting drug, and it's well understood how it works. But we need to know, if we're going to prescribe this as a delivery system, we have to have some data, and right now we don't have any.
Okay, I guess. So what I'm hearing from you then is that it's not so much the product itself, it's the testing of the product and the data of the product that you need to know more about. That, you know, if somebody wants to get that shot of nicotine, that's okay with Dr. Eric, but you just want to know about the delivery system and how it gets to people and whether that is safe in and of itself. Correct?
Yeah, I think that's right. Okay. I think we need to ask ourselves, why haven't they given us any data? I don't know the answer to that.
Is it tobacco companies now that are buying up these e-cig companies? Are they the ones controlling it? Is it all the ones that we know and hate, the big time tobacco that's doing this, Eric?
Yeah, you know, a lot of these did start out as small corporations, but a good number of them now are in tobacco company holding companies like Altria and Philip Morris. So clearly this is their big next marketing venture.
Okay.
I don't like to be, cast as a crusader. I'm not a crusader. I know that tobacco kills 440,000 people every year in the United States. And, you know, if that many people were dying from bird flu, we'd freak out. But this is so insidious and so it's built into our culture, we don't even know it.
Well,
so if we're going to have people go off tobacco, we need to have good, effective ways to do it that we know that work.
Now, again, let me identify myself again as a non-smoker, as a non-chewer. I mean, I can't stand cigarette smoke. My folks used to smoke when I was a kid, Eric, and I couldn't stand being around it. I'm like many other people. But when it comes to anti-smoking and anti-e-cigs, is the same attention being given to other tobacco products, i.e., I see a lot of places that sell cigars. I see a lot of guys my age smoking big old stogies because they think it's cool and they like the flavor of a good cigar. I see a lot of people still, more people than who smoke cigarettes, chewing tobacco, for example.
Yeah.
Eric. Almost every male between the age of 18 to 50 or 60 chews tobacco. Why don't we see the same emphasis on those products as we do on cigarettes and e-cigs?
Well, start with, they have different sets of health problems, and actually a lot of it is just lead time. The information about cigarettes is, there's just a longer history of data collection for cigarettes, and less so for other spit tobacco products like chew or snus. But they do have their own set of health problems, and actually in the last couple of years, most state health departments have kind of picked this up as a renewed emphasis. The tobacco companies have a strategy called harm reduction, and they actually tried to get our legislature this year to buy into this idea that the state should set aside money for harm reduction. The basic premise is that we would have people not smoke cigarettes but use chew instead. That was one of the premises.
Jeez, okay.
And the problem with that is chew has four times as much nicotine as a cigarette, so it's very difficult to get people off. And quite often what you end up with are dual users. And, of course, chew has, you know, a lot of issues with oral cancer, esophageal cancer, and stomach cancer, which are almost universally fatal. So it's an unusual strategy. We know that there were legislators this year who actually went to dinner with one of these companies promoting this on behalf of the tobacco company, to try to get the legislature to do this. Now, this is mystifying to me because the health department has so many good programs to get people off of tobacco that have outstanding data that show that they work. Yet here they were considering setting aside money for this bogus tobacco company strategy.
Wow.
I think the e-cig thing is just kind of part of this giant silent marketing effort.
Okay.
You know, it would be easy for these companies to collect data and release it to us to show if these products work. But to date, that's not happened.
All right. Eric, thank you. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for offering your wisdom on our program today. I greatly appreciate it. It's very informative. I get where you're coming from, and maybe we need to do, you know, more study and get some data out there. But in the end, I'll stick to my guns down the road and say, look, if somebody wants to smoke these things, if we find the data about them, I'm not going to have a big problem with that.
Me neither. Okay. I would like it if they would.
All right. Eric, thank you. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Eric Johnson of Smoke Free North Dakota and a physician in Grand Forks.